being a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what we want. We want the will of God, don't we? Are we willing to sacrifice for it? Father, we come before you, Lord, asking you to help us. God, we need you. Oh, how desperately we need you. God, thank you for helping us in our failures, our weaknesses. Thank you for allowing us to share your word with people. And God, crucifying our flesh and going back out. Because none of us wanted to. But Lord, it's so worth it now. I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad we did. God, help us keep telling our flesh no, please. God, help us to be living sacrifices, fully surrendered to you. Please, Lord God, we need your help. Teach us, convict us, draw us closer to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For to know God's perfect will, there has to be complete surrender. Complete surrender. Not partial, not I'm giving God 98%. No, 100%. All of it. That's what it says. We're to be a living sacrifice. A sacrifice is something that's dead. Something dead doesn't have a will. Do you know that? Any of you ever tried to carry a dead body? I'm not talking about a human body. Okay, some of you are like, what, Pastor, you carry dead bodies? No, okay. Have you ever tried to carry just a lifeless body, an animal, anything? How many of you have been hunting before and you had to carry an elk? Let me just say, you're not carrying an elk, okay? I can tell you right now, you're not going to carry it. You're not carrying it nowhere, okay? You're going to have to just gut that thing and cut it into pieces, okay? We've been hunting before and killed some elk, some big elk, okay? And we had to load this thing in the back of my Jeep. And what we did is we went and tied around the antlers a rope. I ran it through the back, through the door, and we tied it off to a tree. Okay, and then five of us. How many of you have seen a full-size elk? I mean, have you ever seen an elk, a picture of one? They're like the size of a horse, okay? I mean, they're huge, okay? And four of us, four, it wasn't five because the fifth guy was driving, okay? So they got in my driver's seat, put it in reverse, and they start backing up while four of us are there trying to lift this thing. And I mean, it was trying. It was like a pathetic attempt at trying to lift it, okay? And all four of us are there giving it all we've got to lift this thing. It was a lifeless body. It didn't have a will of its own. I'm sure it would have said, as that truck was backing up and as that rope tightened up and as its head was sticking up there and its neck was being like, I'm sure if it was alive, it would have said, ouch, this hurts, stop. But it didn't have a will because it was dead. That's what it means for us to be a living sacrifice. That's what it means for us to be surrendered to God. It means 100% God, what you want, not what I want. And right now, I bet you some of you have shut me off because you said, I ain't doing that. That's too much. I want this. And I've got plans for my life, and I'm not stopping to ask God right now. But if we want God's will, then we'll be that living sacrifice. 100% surrendered to God. So where does it all start? Knowing God's will starts at salvation first and foremost. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. You've got to be saved first. You're not surrendered to God if you're not saved. You've never surrendered to his will. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He says, I want everybody saved. So you're not surrendered to him. You're still his enemy. You are still God's enemy. Do you know that? There's no surrender on your part. Person is still God's enemy before salvation. We're in Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter number 5. We need to know this verse. I've read it to us quite a few recently. Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. But what did it say there? We were enemies. It means before salvation, before we've been reconciled to God, we're his enemy. We're his enemy. That's why I say you have to be surrendered to even come to salvation. You have to stop fighting God. You can't stay his enemy and get saved. I'm telling you, that's what this repentance-less gospel is teaching. You can stay God's enemy and get saved. God says, no, you can't. If when we were enemies, you're no longer anymore when you came to be reconciled to me. Why? Because you repented. You surrendered to my will. You came to me on my terms. Amen. That's what it has to be still to this day. Salvation must be first. The most difficult part in all of this is our need for complete surrender. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. That means you come, you present your body as a living sacrifice. You come and you lay your body down and say, I'm yours, God. God, what would you have me to do? I will be that living sacrifice, Lord. That's what each and every one of us needs to do. We need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Are you willing to do that? Have you done that? Would you be that living sacrifice that God wants you to be? And lay yourself on the altar and say, God, I'm yours. That's the hardest part. And that's what most people are not willing to do. They're not willing to be that living sacrifice. What Paul is talking about here is an allusion to the Old Testament sacrifices. They were set before God, ready to be offered. They brought them forth. Some of the sacrifices, the person bringing it would kill it. Others, the priest would. But they lay their hands on it, signifying the transfer of my sin to this animal is taking my place. I deserve to be that. I deserve to die. The wages of sin is death. And that's what Paul is saying we need to do. We need to be a living sacrifice. We need to come willing to die, dead to self. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in my flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. But I am crucified with Christ. What's a crucifixion represent? What happened to someone at crucifixion? Death. Death. They were dead. Nevertheless, I live. I live. I'm crucified with Christ, but I live. But I'm alive. Yet not I, but Christ dwelleth in me. It's not me. It's Christ's will, God's will. See, to do God's will, you got to be dead to yourself. Surrender to God. What does God want for me? It was a free will offering. Paul said this, I am now ready to be offered and the time of my departure is at hand. What did he say? His whole life was an exemplary of that right there. And he said, I'm ready now, God. I know it's time. I'm giving myself. We are to willingly come to God and present our bodies for him and his service. Because we are naturally so self-centered, this is anathema to our nature. This is a complete opposite to our nature. We say, oh no, I couldn't dare do that. I want this. And we want to cling to the world and not the old rugged cross. I'm telling you right now, every one of us in here is going to have this battle with God if we haven't yet. I mean, you're going to have to get down to it, just like Jacob did, as he was going to go back to the promised land that God told him, and he didn't want to. He was afraid because he knew he was facing his past mistakes. He knew he was going to have to answer for the sins of his past. And he said, no, my brother's there, and he hated me, and he was going to kill me. I don't want to go back. And he had to wrestle with God all night, and he had to get down to it and say, okay, God, I'll do it. I'm going to go, God. He gave himself over to God. And every one of us in here, if we're going to do God's will, you have to come to that time in your life when you have wrestled with God and you've said, okay, God, it's you, it's not me. And I guarantee it right now. I know right now that there's people in here that have not done that. And honestly, some of you in here will not. You're saying, I'm not going to do that. I'm not giving in to God. You're fighting it right now. You're not willing to do what God wants you to do. Let me take it farther. You're not even willing to ask God what he wants you to do because you've made up your mind what you're going to do. And you'll partway serve God, but not all the way. That's not what God's asking. you to do. He says, this is your reasonable service. Hey, without Jesus, where would we all be? Come on, somebody say it. Where would we be? We'd be in hell, that's right. Burning. Where the worm dieth not. Where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. We're just gnawing on each other. Gnawing on our own arm. Screaming out in pain. Place of utter darkness. Without Jesus, that's where we'd all be, and we deserve it. But are we going there? Praise God, we're not going there. Why? Why don't we have to go there? Help me. Why don't we have to go there? Somebody on this side, why don't we have to go there? Help me. That's right, because Jesus died on the cross and paid for our sins. Praise God. And it's because of that that this is our reasonable service. It's not unreasonable. It's beyond reasonable that we would give ourselves for our Savior. Not to earn our salvation. It's nothing like that. But because of what He did for me, this is reasonable that God would expect me to be a living sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to God. They don't belong to you. That's a problem. But guess what? God is so loving and kind that He lets you choose. He lets you choose. Even after salvation, God will let you choose. Do you understand that? That's why Paul said, I die daily. I die daily because sometimes we're like, I'm not getting up. I'm not reading my Bible today. I'm not going soul winning today. I'm not going to church today. I'm not praying today. Paul said, I die daily. Daily. On the footsteps of surrender resides holy living. It says right there, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Think about this. If you were to present something to God, how would you do it? Man, if you're to present something to God, I mean, are you going to get it like this and just say, hey, God, got something for you. There you go. No, how are you going to do it? I mean, you're going to get that thing, man, and let me see if I can get something halfway nice looking. I mean, you're going to be polishing it up. You're going to be like, I bring this before my King. Isn't that how you present it to God? So what are you presenting to Him? We're to present our bodies, living sacrifices, holy. 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 Not filled with the filth of the world. With the philosophies of the world, the thinking of the world. And God's got the answer for all that too. We're to renew our minds. That's part of it. We'll get to it. But if we want to do the will of God, this is how we come to Him. We have to be saved first. You have to be saved first. And you present yourself. You might be a stinking mess when you present yourself to God, but God says, present yourself a living sacrifice, holy. Learn holiness. Learn how to get rid of all these things. But if you just come as a living sacrifice, God says, I can work with that right there. Amen. That's good. Because that person's dead to themselves and they're going to do what I tell them to do. As I tell them to get rid of this or add this, they're going to do it. They're not going to fight me. Because they've already decided they're dead to themselves and they're going to live after my will, not theirs. Man, I'm telling you, that right there has got to get God excited right now. How many of you have read in the Old Testament where it says that as they offered their sacrifices, God says, that was a sweet-smelling savor in my nostrils. Amen. You know what that reminds me of when I think of that? I think of that and I think, man, you ever gone to a barbecue? What's worse, Saturday morning soul winning? And they've got some tortillas. I mean, like homemade tortillas cooking, the chorizo or the bacon, and you go in, some green chili, whatever it is, and you smell it, and you're just like, oh, that is a sweet-smelling savor to my nostrils. Man, that smells good. That's what I think. That's how I think. That just puts a smile on my face. Unless I'm not eating it, then I'm just like, oh. But it's so good that I'm just like, oh, man, that is good, because I can think back to times when I have eaten and I'm like, yes, I'm telling you, that's what it does to God when we come and we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. I'm telling you, I think He gets excited. I really do. I think God just says, yes, there's another one. That's mine. He's like, oh, that smells good right there. I like the way that smells. I think it gets God excited when we come to Him like that, when we're willing to live for Him like that in such a manner. But that's what we need to do. That's how we need to come to Him. We need to present our bodies as holy. Holy. Matthew Henry said this, "There is a relative holiness in every sacrifice as dedicated to God. But besides this, there must be that real holiness which consists in an entire rectitude of heart and life by which we are conformed in both to the nature and will of God. And even our bodies must not be made the instruments of sin and uncleanness, but set apart for God and put to holy uses, as the vessels of the tabernacle were holy, being devoted to God's service." See, that's what it means. We're holy, we're devoted to serve God. Not devoted to serve my flesh. Not devoted to serve what this world dictates I should be doing. But devoted to serve the true and living God. That's what holy means. You come as a living sacrifice and you say, "God, I'm all yours." Hey, let's go to Acts chapter 9, man. This just gets good right here. It's so good. It's gooder than it was just a minute ago. Acts chapter 9. This is the apostle, soon to be the apostle Paul. This is Saul. All right, verse 3, Acts chapter 9, verse 3. "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined out about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said," get this right here, we're about to see a living sacrifice, holy, holy, that says, "Okay, God, you, not me." "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That's how we're to come to God. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Part of presenting our bodies means we bring an acceptable sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they had to bring sacrifices that were without blemish. The Passover lamb was inspected for 4 days prior to the sacrifice to make sure it didn't have any blemishes. It couldn't be like a crippled or nothing like that. It had to be perfect. Why? Because they picture Jesus Christ. They're all pictures of Christ, all the sacrifices. Let me say this, salvation is going to result in holy living. Amen, amen right there. Amen. Titus 2, 11 and 12, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation." So, hey, salvation, as it shows up, "hath appeared to all men, teaching us." So what does the grace of God that brings salvation teach us? "That denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." God says, hey, part of your nature when I save you is going to be inclined to this. It doesn't mean he takes your flesh away, but he says, part of the nature that I give you is inclined to this, to live holy, to live righteously, to live godly in this present world. God says, that's what I want for you. That's the natural outcome of salvation. Holy living is something we should embrace, not despise. A Christian who loves God and is seeking His will joyfully embrace holy living. It's a part of your new nature. You're going to joyfully embrace it. It's not going to be a drag or a bummer that you have to do it, that you have to live for God. You're not going to be, "Oh, great, we got to do this. We got to go here. We can't go there. Can't wear this. Have to wear that." No. You'll be submitted to what God says. Amen. You'll be willing to say, "Okay, I don't like that, God. But if you'll show me in here, I'll do it." Because sometimes you think it was easy for, I forget the guy's name that we just read about. You think it was easy for him to stand there as he, think about this. They're having this town celebration. I bet most of the Christians probably stayed away from it. So what happened to that man didn't happen. Sophomoris or whatever his name was. Okay. But I bet that he was like seeing them come in and he's like looking for his way out. And he's like, "Great. Oh, what am I going to do?" And they come before him and everyone's just hitting the knee as that thing passes by. All of them hitting the knee. By the way, the Catholics did the same thing. Let me just tell you right now, and killed Baptists for not bowing. When Mary or the Eucharist came by, because they believe the Eucharist is God, you know, as they say, "Holy moly, macaroni and cheese," and the Eucharist turns into Jesus. You know, I mean, that's what they believe. So they're walking around with that. They had a big procession, and they'd expect people to bow down because that's God, right? The way for God. Okay, so what happens is everyone's just hitting, and he just boom, 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 one after another. And they get to this guy, sophomore. Is like, I don't even remember that's his name, but I'm going to go with that, okay? And as they get to him, he just stands there. And they're walking past, and they see him, and they just, and he's like, oh, I thought I had it, man. I thought I was made it. He's like, I didn't make it. And they came back to him. I bet it was, he could have just, he was fighting in himself to say, just bow, just bow. It won't be all off. Confess to God later. I'm going to confess to God later. He didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do it, but you know what? His love for God drove him to it. See, and that's what we have to let drive us, because sometimes it's hard to do the things that God wants us to do. But he knew what was right, and we know what's right. If you're saved, you know what's right. You know what's right. If you're asking the question, well, what about this? Should I do this? Come on now, you already know the answer. You already know the answer. I'm telling you right now, let me tell you something about in our life. Recently, okay, how many of you know? You know, you get these food apps, okay, for places to eat at. You get food apps, okay, and they'll give you free stuff. All right, okay, me and my wife, we went to Chick-fil-A the other day. We got a free gallon of sweet tea. Man, that stuff is good over there. So we got a free gallon of sweet tea, and we scanned the thing like 2-3 times, and it didn't take, and the guy just said, well, here, I'll just give it to you, because he knew we had it. I mean, we're showing it to him. So he gives it to us. And then my wife asked the question. She said, well, should we get another one since it's still on here? She looked like the next day, and it was still there. And we kind of went back and forth, and we're like, well, it's there. So what did we end up doing? We ended up getting it. And then I said, nah, we're going to go and pay for that. So next time we go to Chick-fil-A, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go pay for another one and say, we're not taking it. Because it's not right. God drives us to that. See, you fight your flesh sometimes, don't you? You think, well, shouldn't it was free. Yeah, we had one free one, not two. So we just became thieves. No, yeah, it's that easy, isn't it? It's that easy. Right. And you're a preacher. You're not supposed to do that. Right, so we'll get it right, okay? God forgive us. But that's what happens. We're to live holy. Remember, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It means you're going to mess up. Get it right with God. That's the key to it. That's the key to it, is that we'd get it right with God. Now, we'll pick up on this next week, but the twin sister to holy living is not being conformed to this world. So are you submitted to God's will? Are you presenting yourself as a living sacrifice? That's the key to everything right there. To walking in God's will is that you present your body as a living sacrifice. Holy. Holy. Don't despise the things of God. Embrace the things of God. Be willing to ask him for the answers. Don't go to your friends and ask them for the answers. Don't go to them and ask them for the answers. Ask God. Ask God. Don't delude yourself. Your own heart will deceive you. You can think, oh, no, I believe God wants me to do this, when you know good and well he doesn't want you to. Don't do it. Don't let your heart lie to you. Your living sacrifice. Say, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus didn't want to face the cross. He knew what was coming. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Yeah, that's okay to say that. You go into some trial or something you don't want to do. Say, God, could you please take this from me? You have those rapture moments. You're praying for the rapture. Amen. God, please, just if you could bring the rapture right now, I wouldn't have to face this. That would be great. One of those rapture moments. But say, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. We're willing for that. Let's pray. Father.